Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here today. Happy Memorial Day weekend. So, and a holiday weekend, we get an extra day to be celebrating. A couple of announcements. We do have our adult Bible study at Sunday school at 9:30, and we're doing our daily bread, and we just go through what we've done for the week. So it's kind of good to hear how other people have taken to it, and so it's just a good time to share what God's done. So, food pantry on Wednesdays, they have gleaners. Encourage you to come. If you know somebody that is needing food, needs help, be sure and have them contact Sherry or Helen. It's a big help. I know we've helped a lot of people, so that's a good praise. In fact, I just want to share this real quick. They had, on one Wednesday, they were having the garden club down there, so they had set it up up here, and this guy had come, and he brought a couple of things of oil. And he said, you know, when I was down and out, you guys helped me. And he says, I have extra, so I just want to give it back, give this to you to help others. And I thought, you know, it just shows we are helping somebody. It's worthwhile. So that was a blessing. And so I just looked at him and I said, well, and now you get to bless others like you were blessed. So anyway, I thought that was, yeah. I just want to share that to let people know it is a blessing to give at the gleaners. We do have prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. Get to pray for our church and our country and the people here. So I just encourage you to get on and pray with us. It's a good time. And potluck is next Sunday. Woohoo! So Jeremy's all excited back there. He's already got it planned. He's had it planned for a month what he's going to bring, and he makes good food. So yeah. So next Sunday after church, be sure and plan on staying and having potluck because it's great to get to fellowship with each other. So I think that's it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the sunshine that's out there and the not real scorchy weather, so it's just comfortable that we can come and just enjoy all of the blessings that you have given us, the beautiful flowers, the just being out in the air and clean air. We just give you praise for all that you give us, Lord Jesus. We just ask a special blessing on this service today. We ask that as we're singing these songs, Lord, let it just be music to your ears. And let us just concentrate on you and the words that they portray. And we give a blessing on Teresa as she gives the message today, Lord. Just bless her. Be with her as she shares what you have put on her heart. And Father God, we just ask that. I ask for those that aren't here, that are sick. I know Phyllis and Wink. Just bless them and bring them back to us. We just give you praise in all you do. In Jesus' precious and glorious name. Amen. All right, we're going to stand. Call to worship, which is Psalms 84, 1 through 4. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord God Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
Amen.
Amen to God's word. All right. Revive us again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died. We praise thee, O God, for your Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and banished our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb who was slain, who has taken our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
This one's a
March.
This one's a good one for the Memorial Weekend.
Yeah.
We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy. A story of peace and light. A story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. Weave a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord. A song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. And shatter the spear and sword. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a message to give to the nations, that the Lord who reigneth above has sent us his Son to save us and show us that God is love. And show us that God is love. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light.
Amen.
I love that.
Something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. Something beautiful. but he made something beautiful of my life. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. I want to love you more. I want to love you more. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. I want to serve you more. I want to serve you more. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. God bless each and every one of you. He has me. From those great blessings, it's our opportunity to give back to Him as He has commanded, to even try to outgive Him. Don't think it can happen. So, let us go together and offer back to Him as He has commanded. Father, Lord, thank you for the many gifts and blessings you have given us. All the things of this world that we need to survive and be safe and be protected under your wings. Thank you for your great providence. Please accept these gifts back, humbly given in expectation of your continued protection and provision in our lives. Amen. Thank you. Just catching up on the prayer chat again. I don't know about you guys, but in my life, it's every night catch up with the prayer chat. It's when I'm able to do it. All the kids are in bed, and I can focus on it, and I can pray. And there's no distractions. So I just want to lift up from the prayer chat. There's several things there. I'll let some people share them, but the one that's heaviest on my heart right now is Thomas Baker, Paul and Carol Baker's grandson, who continues to struggle with drug addiction. Many of you were here for Paul's memorial service, and remember Thomas was here, and he was trying to come out of addiction at that time, and he wanted to share, but he couldn't, because he was actually in the process of withdrawal at that time, whether you guys knew it or not. And so he continues to struggle. So we're going to pray him out of that addiction. He's in the ER right now recovering from a really bad overdose. So prayer for Carol, prayer for Sean Baker, Carol's daughter, and the mother of Thomas Baker, who's struggling. Thomas, he's the one heaviest on my heart because he used to be my youth kid back in the day. So Thomas Baker. So please pray for Thomas, pray for the ER doctors so they know exactly what they need to do to get him back. And Holy Spirit, get a hold of his heart once and for all time. Yeah. Yeah. Get a hold of him, Lord. He's your son. He's your child. And Satan doesn't get him anymore. Let's go back home, Satan. Leave him alone. He belongs to God. Bill. So they weren't here, so I immediately did a health and wellness check. You know, when I have a kid doesn't come to school, I do a health and wellness check. That's just the way it is. And so they overdid it yesterday at Music in May, and they need to rest. They were partying in the sun, I guess. So they overdid it. So that's why they're not with us this morning. That's the official excuse via text message. So I'll cut him some slack. And then Gary Morrison was the other one that was shared. He passed away. His family is grieving. So prayer for the Morrison family as they continue to go on without Gary. Josh. So prayer for your cousin Mike Johnson, who had a leg amputated, is in rehab for a while and will eventually have a prosthetic leg that as he makes this transition in his life, things will go well. Okay. Judy. So prayer for Justin Hesselgesser, Leo's son, Leo and Teresa's son, Judy's grandson, who is ill. The twins are 28. He and his sister, Jessica. I am now old, thanks. Praise the Lord for age and sometimes wisdom that comes with it. Oh, man, I can't believe that. So prayer for Justin Hesselgesser, who is feeling ill with some acid reflux issues. That's what he says it feels like, that his tummy can settle down and that Judy bringing Gatorade will be just what is needed. It's probably more Judy needed than Gatorade, but we know the truth. Mm-hmm. Could be. Yeah. Jeremy, I saw your hand up. Okay. So Jeremy's asking us to pre-pray the trip over him and family going to Canada this next month. We will miss them. Are you going to go up to see relatives in Camrose? No. Okay. All right. Donna. Right. So Jeremy's boss, Brenda, her husband passed away this last week. So prayer for Brenda. I forget her married name, but Bigsby, I think, was her maiden name, and related to the Bigsby family that was out here by the store over here for so very long. So it's Hostetler might be her married name. Okay, so prayer for the Bigsby family, Brenda's family, her in-laws, as her husband has passed away. Sarah. Applesauce and toilet paper coming their way. It's the little things sometimes, right? So Sarah is sharing a prayer request for a continued prayer request for Alyssa, her former coworker, who is the one that has multiple rounds of battle with bone cancer. She's on a clinical trial drug, and a CT scan comes up this week. Oh, it was yesterday. So the results will indicate whether they continue on this therapy or discontinue. And so prayer for that one. And then praise for Dason Tiaganko. Laura Tiaganko is Sarah's neighboring classroom coworker. And Dason had an open heart surgery that was pretty extensive. And she's able to come back to half day work already. So that's a praise that Dason is doing so well. So anybody else? Prayer or praise request? Debbie. Thank you. Pretty soon she'll be able to ask Alexa to do a number of things for her, including turn the lights on as she's driving home. So that's a big thing. Yep. Mm-hmm. Especially when you get to the next winter, it's nice to have them on if you're driving up. It's... Anybody else? Oh, yeah, I didn't repeat that very well for the people online. Debbie has a couple praises. One, a wonderful day of fellowship with Donna Marble. And then the Dawson-Ivan tag team coming over to her house again Saturday morning for a little while. So it's a praise. Oh, Sarah, I see your hand up once more. Mm-hmm. I love my brother dearly. I didn't want him to go to Massachusetts, if I'm honest, but, it's been a life growth process for him. I am sure of that. And he's trying to come back. So prayers that the right job in the right district in the state of Oregon or Washington come back to him so he can return to us safely and employed. So the trip to Massachusetts just did not work out. Debbie. Uh-huh. I saw in the prayer chat it said that that Phyllis technically tested positive for COVID, and Wink didn't, but he's got a lot of the same symptoms. So, yeah, he's still sick. So, you know, Holy Spirit, come and wrap them up in your love and healing and bring them back to us soon, please. Absolutely. If they didn't have bad luck, they'd have no luck at all. I believe it's something bigger than luck. Amen. Josh. So the praise was for a great week, and the prayer was for, was that a co-worker? I didn't get that. A peer support. Okay. And what was her name again? Karen? Cameron. Sorry. Cameron. So Josh is sharing a prayer request for a peer support named Cameron, and a praise that he had a great week. I have an unspoken need I would like to share for myself with you guys, and it's a big decision for our family coming up. I don't want to say more. It's not appropriate to do so yet, but please pray that the process would go as he plans it. So, anybody else? Judy. Eleven 15, Maridon spaghetti with Lori Cooper this week. She's been doing pretty good. I've never found Donna and Judy to be boring. So, a praise that Lori Cooper is doing well and can get out of her living arrangement and get to Maridon's. And if you're not busy at 11:15 and hungry for spaghetti, meet there on Wednesday. Oh, yeah. Maridon's got lots of good food. So prayer for Marie Hundley, who's having some ongoing vision concerns, seeing double, and for a cancellation because somebody else doesn't need an appointment that she can slip into before the 21st. Exactly. Absolutely. All right. Let's go together as a family to our Lord and Savior. Father God, thank you so much for being God. Sovereign, all-powerful, trustworthy, with us every moment and everywhere we go. There's no place we can go. Get away from your love. Thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. Forgive us, Lord, when we fall short of your glory in our lives. When we have an angry thought about someone for a moment. When we fail to listen to the nudge of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that come when we do. Thank you for family. Thank you for friends. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for jobs. Thank you for retirement jobs. Thank you for all the tasks you give us to do in a day to support each other as you've commanded. Thank you for this church family beyond the families you give us biologically. And thank you for the community you've placed us in. Lord, bring revival to this community. Bring revival to those who have attended in the past. Bring revival to this church. More than just in our hearts and more than just numbers. But Lord, bring us deeper into your love and your character. And give us the opportunities to share it with others. Father God, thank you so much for so many blessings you give us. Father, we bring some needs and we lay them before your feet. Many have been expressed for those who cannot be here with us, but would if they could, for Phyllis and Wink and for Lori and for Marie Hundley and Dan and Lord, for my parents, who just overdid it. Lord, give their bodies rest. Father God, just meet all of the needs for a return to health for each and every one of these that have been laid upon your throne. Lord, for Sarah's co-worker and for Josh, his peer support person that he's bringing up, Lord. For families that have lost family members this week, Lord, just be a balm of Gilead to their minds. Bring them peace that passes understanding, along with the grief that is real in this world. And God, we say thank you for our assured destination that you give us. Makes life worth living every day. So thank you, Father, for purpose and peace that you provide. Lord, we lift up this nation. We lift it up to you. We ask you to make it great because of you being in it. Our founding fathers knew that you were the anchor of the freedoms that are provided. So, Lord, let us return to the truth of our founding. Let us remember that your grace brings freedom. Not anyone else's ideology, but that it is you that bring freedom. Restore that to the mind of this nation, Lord, and restore each mind as you do. Bring a revival to this land and a revival to our leaders. Give them great wisdom for such a time as this, Lord. Thank you for all your provision. Thank you for all you give. Thank you for another day to live and serve. Amen. Are there any kiddos in the house? Other than just me and you. Raise your hand if you're a child of God. We got kids in the house. All right, guys, we got a worship song, a kids' worship song.
Oh, we got a pen for me?
All right. Okay, I don't remember. Let's see, which one is this? Ah, yes. Wait. What does B-I-B-L-E stand for? Do you guys remember?
Do you remember? Say that all the time.
What does it stand for? Do you remember?
Basic instructions.
That's right. The basic instructions before leaving Earth. You ready?
You're being funny, Dad.
No, I'm not. I'm being real. That's why we do Bible stories. Because then we learn the...
Instructions.
Basic. Instructions. Before
you leave.
That's right. Not after. It's too late then. All right. You guys ready? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Bible, which means what? That's right. Okay. Father God. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And that guy will go to show.
Thank you, Lord, for your word that you've given. Father, put it on the hearts of these children here as well as upon ours, that we might not sin against thee, but we might instead be your hands, your feet, knowing the victory you have given. Amen.
Children's.
You ready?
I love it. It's the best. Thank God for our children who remind us of our relationship with God, our Father. We all have different personalities, and God created us that way on purpose. So we shouldn't get frustrated when our brothers, our sisters, our siblings are showing up in different ways. God intended them to be that way. They're supposed to be different because we all bring God glory in our differences. Bless his holy name. So welcome to our worship experience. Thank you for joining us today. Those who are here able to make it out to the sanctuary, God is with us. Today's sermon celebrates the receiving of the Holy Spirit by Jesus' disciples. Now, the last few Sundays, if you weren't here with us, we've been following Jesus around as he was preparing his disciples for his departure. And last week, he finally left them. And so while he did leave, he did not leave them alone. So he promised them another helper. So follow along as I read the encounter that's recorded in Acts chapter 2. Now we'll go through the 13th verse, Acts chapter 2. I'm reading from the Message, but as always, follow along in the translation that you prefer. It's all God's word. Here's what it says in the Message in Acts chapter 2. When the feast of the Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They, the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, a gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. And then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. And then, when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were blown away. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes," those are people who converted to Judaism, "even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works." Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. "What's going on here?" And then there were others that joked, "They're drunk on cheap wine." Can you believe that? Thus reads the word of God. Amen to his word. I've always loved this passage since I was a kid. The book of Acts, I just love it, love it, love it, love it. And particularly in chapter 2, to have been present and witness the first time a group of believers receives the Spirit. What an awesome thing that would have been. Yeah, it just gives you chills, right? But let's back up a second, back up a second, back up a second before we get there. The disciples were gathered in Jerusalem for a couple of reasons. The first one was Jesus told them before he left to remain in the city. He says, "Wait for the promise of God. So don't go anywhere else. Stay here in the city." But also what was happening, they were gathered there as was custom for all Jews to gather in Jerusalem to observe Pentecost. So Pentecost, also known as Shavuot, is an agricultural feast that commemorates the beginning of the wheat harvest. During temple times, the first fruits of the harvest, along with freshly baked loaves of bread, were brought to the temple as an offering. And once the temple was destroyed, because remember the temple got destroyed twice, not just once, but twice, they were brought. Once the temple was destroyed, it was common to actually decorate the local synagogues. So they no longer have the big temple, remember? So now they have, like we do, have different churches throughout. And so they're called synagogues where they worship. So they would decorate their synagogues with fruit and flowers because they're no longer able to make the sacrifices, because you could only do that in the temple. So the temple's gone now. Shavuot became associated with the giving of the law. So the story of Moses, you know, bringing the tablets down off of the mountain to the people of Israel, that's recounted. They relive that story during Pentecost. And it also became tradition somewhere along the line to read the book of Ruth. So Ruth is also read and highlighted during Pentecost. Now, Shavuot, or Pentecost, is observed 50 days, or 7 weeks, after Passover, hence the name Pentecost, because Penta, if you remember from way back in the day when we were at school, Penta means 5, and so in this, it's 50. And so that's how you get the name Pentecost. So Now, which is very fascinating to me to read this story because, again, God is just amazing how he works out all the details. When you look at Pentecost, this isn't the first time that a Jewish holiday is given a new meaning. We saw this when Jesus was observing Passover with his disciples. Remember, Passover is the part of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and commemorates the night that God saves his people Israel and escorts them out of Egypt. The people were instructed to kill a pure lamb or goat, unblemished, roast it, and smear its blood on the doorpost of their homes. Why did they do that? So that the angel of death would pass over their home and save their firstborn. Their firstborn would be spared. The homes of the Egyptians and all the non-believers who did not smear blood of the lamb on their doorposts, their firstborn was taken. And so when Jesus breaks the unleavened bread and he shares the wine with his disciples in observation of the Passover, he tells them the elements are symbol of his life being sacrificed for all of humanity. And so he becomes the Passover lamb, right? So he's taken over. He's saying, yeah, it's no longer about the lamb or the goat that was slain back in Egypt. I am the Passover lamb. I am saving all of humanity. So he taught them a new meaning for Passover. And when you get to Pentecost, it's a very similar thing. During Pentecost or Shavuot, the disciples received God's promised gift of the Spirit 50 days after the revelation of the new Passover. So Passover is the gift of Jesus, and Pentecost becomes the gift of the Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? So let's take a look at what happened just before the arrival of the Spirit. You have to go back to chapter 1. So if you're reading in chapter 1, the writer shares that Jesus visited his disciples after his resurrection and before his ascension. So during one of those visits, he instructed them to stay in Jerusalem until the promise was received. Jesus had gone and visited them several times. Occasions. It wasn't just one time and then he left. It was several times. He's still training them and getting them prepared for his ultimate departure. So chapter one also references the Great Commission, where Jesus departs and he calls his disciples to continue his ministry by sharing with others what they've witnessed. Now it's interesting because in Sunday school this morning we talked about being witnesses and how that helps attract people to God. It helps them realize that God is real. He's not fake. He's not a myth. He's not this magical being. He is a creator of all of us and loves us. And when we share stories about how God is in our lives, how we have discovered God and how we see God showing up time and time again in our lives, we are witnesses. And that's what Jesus says to his disciples, go and be witnesses. So the disciples take time to select a replacement for Judas. This is while they're waiting there in Jerusalem. This is all happening in chapter 1. A man named Matthias becomes the next one. Matthias was chosen because, like the other 11 disciples, the other male disciples, he had seen Jesus from the day he was baptized, and he followed him until his ascension. So Matthias was like the other 11 male disciples, because remember, Jesus had female disciples as well. But it was the 12 men who he closely mentored and taught. Because remember, old time, and actually even now, if you go to the Middle East, it's really not okay for the two sexes to be hanging out. You can hang out in some regards, because if you're related to the opposite sex, your cousin, your brother, siblings, all those kind of things, you can be close together. But there's certain times when you just can't, because you're my neighbor. You're really not my cousin. We're not even related in any kind of way. So it's not appropriate for me to hang out with you. So Jesus then has 12 men that he selects so that he can hang out with them, because they don't have to be his relatives in order for him to be with them in closer, intimate circles and spaces. So that's why it happens to be 12 male disciples. And so once Judas is now gone, the disciples are sitting there going, okay, well, Jesus said we should be waiting here. Why don't we carry on some other business while we're waiting? And so they choose Matthias to be with them. Now, this brings us back to chapter 2, where a group of believers is gathered. Now, chapter 1 tells us there's about 120 disciples gathered. And there may have been more on the day of Pentecost. We don't really know. We can't be certain because the text doesn't distinguish if the day the disciples selected Matthias is the same day as Pentecost. So when they were gathered to select Matthias, it was like 120, right? At least, according to the scripture. But on Pentecost, we don't know. It could have been more than that. Because I can imagine it possibly was more than that. Because Jesus, remember, yeah, his ministry was short, his public ministry. We're estimating, if you refer to biblical scholars, 3 years, 4 years, he was out talking to all the crowds, traveling from place to place. He had a potential to get to really gather a lot of people who would claim to be his disciples, right? Because he came, he healed them, he taught them, he changed their lives. So who knows how many had actually gathered in that room. The scripture says they, the believers, were all together in one place. They were gathered to celebrate Pentecost, and as they fellowshipped, the Spirit came upon each one of them. The disciples then go out, and they witness in different languages so that the people in town understand them in their own native language. Now, how amazing is that? How amazing is that? Now, what surprises me about the account is that very last sentence, what? There's a small group of folks who rolled their eyes and accused the group of being drunk. Like, oh my gosh, they're just drunk. But I know, you're thinking, huh? Wait, what? Exactly, because that's what I thought, Brother Bill. What in the world? Since when did liquor ever give somebody the ability to speak a different language? Yeah, Sarah, never. Never. No, so what too much liquor will do to you, right, is make your tongue get tied. I don't know if you've ever been around a person who's inebriated. It might coarsen your language. Thank you. It becomes very colorful, doesn't it, Pastor Ivan? It can become very colorful, but it can also sound like you're having a stroke because it becomes slurred. It's like, and you're like, what? Like, you only speak English. What are you saying right now? What? So, yeah, it doesn't give you the ability to speak a foreign language. It just kind of messes the one language up that you actually do know. So it's very fascinating that they would come to that conclusion. But really what you have to look at that scripture is people were amazed. They were amazed. Wondering how in the world these Galileans learned their language so they could be understood without accent and great grammar. Okay, it's hard to do that. I don't know if any of you have studied a foreign language. Yeah, actually, I used to study language acquisition, and usually the prime year is before the age of 12 to learn a language and to be able to speak without accent and with good grammar and know the idioms. It's best to learn it before age 12 because your brain starts to change at age 12. And then after that, learning languages becomes harder. It becomes harder. So here they are, fully grown adults, instantly speaking a different language. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so It's not only amazing that they spoke the different languages, but listen to what it says. The people were amazed because they were telling them, not only speaking a different language, but they were telling them about who God is and what God has done. They were actually giving witness to who God is. This is why people were amazed. They were amazed at the stories of God's goodness that they heard the disciples preach. When you read the rest of the chapter, the Spirit emboldens Peter to preach a powerful sermon. And then it says like 3,000 people came to faith that day because of the Spirit emboldening Peter and the others that day. So those thousands weren't foreigners. They were actually Jewish people who were very devout. That's what the scripture says. They were devout Jews. How do we know that they were devout? Because they came to Jerusalem to observe Pentecost. They did their pilgrimage, right? Their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem to observe Pentecost. So they were devout Jews. And then being there, some of the other portion of Jews, it says in the scripture, gives a description that others were immigrants. So they were probably the Jewish people who were a part of the diaspora. Diaspora is a fancy name for people who come from one land and they're spread out to the other lands, which if you know the story of the Israelites, you're like, yeah, that's them, because they kept getting conquered by different, you know, enemies that were around them, and then they got dispersed to different places, became a part of the other countries around them. So for over and over throughout the history of the Israel people, that's what has happened to them. So at this time, however, there are many Jews who are trying to come back. Even though they may have been born in Egypt, they may have been born in these other places, but they're Jewish. And they want to go back to the Holy Land, similar to really what's happening today. It's the very same thing. Once Israel was declared a state for Israeli people, you had this massive Jewish people from all around the globe, right, going back to the land of Israel, their Holy Land. So it's no different. It's the same thing was happening there. So that's why you have a bunch of immigrants and you have them speaking all these different languages. Even though they're Jewish, they're an Egyptian Jew, they're an Italian Jew, they're a whatever, whatever, because they've gone to all of these different countries and have been living there. And now they're coming back to the Holy Land, and they really now get to understand Yahweh and his promises. Why? Because the Holy Spirit comes on the people of God and gives them power to go and be wonderful witnesses. So they become believers in a new way, just as the disciples had. And so no matter the reason for being in the city that day, they heard the truth about Jesus and God's plan to once again save his people and to fulfill his promise. Because you know that story of Egypt, coming out of Egypt, is that wonderful story of God saving his people. And so the disciples that day get to preach, yes, he saved us back then, but guess what? He's still saving us now through his Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And so that's when Peter goes on to preach. Yeah, remember that one person that y'all had killed? Mm-hmm. That was the Messiah. Believe in him. God is faithful to his promise. And so now you may be thinking, okay, well, that's kind of cool story. Good to know how God did that. But I mean, really, Pastor Teresa, what does the Spirit's arrival way back then have to do with me now in 2023? Well, besides the things that we talked about previous Sundays, let me give you a synopsis. The Spirit of God is with us. Remember, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you another helper. That helper is also called Comforter. Not only does the Spirit comfort us, lives with us, He teaches us truth and gives us wisdom, and He empowers us to live for God. And so we are reminded about who God is and how He works. And so when you read the scripture, it's amazing because it's reminding us who God is and how He works. So here's a few things of who God is and how He works. First thing, we have a description of the Spirit moving and sounding like a stormy wind. Go back and look at that. This symbolizes God's ability to move powerfully in our lives. And like a wind, we really don't see the wind itself, but we feel and we see the evidence of its existence. We feel and we see the effects of the wind, although we don't actually see the wind, do we? And that is how God is. So God is often in our lives. He moves like a gentle breeze sometimes, and sometimes like a forceful, overpowering wind that roars. You literally hear it. So He goes and He comes as He pleases. He's never captured by our hands. He's never captured by our tools. We can't control God. And yet, He chooses to blow into each of our lives. He just blows into each of our lives and gives us life. That's what that scripture is telling us. He's powerful, although invisible. He is yet with us. So when we allow Him to, God will gladly guide us and get us to places for His glory. And like a sailor who lets the sails out to use the wind to get where he wants to be, when we open our sails to God, God can guide us and get us to the places where He wants us to be. I really, really want to learn how to sail one day. Because it's just a beautiful picture of how God is in our lives. Open yourselves to God. So second, we have a description of the Spirit appearing as tongues of fire on each person. Now, we've talked about fire before, if you recall. Fire in the Bible can represent God's judgment or His wrath. It can also represent sanctification. It's that process of being cleansed and becoming holy, right? That's what sanctification is. Fire can also represent God's presence. So the writer of this account is showing how God was with His people, just like He was when He led Israel out of Egypt. Now, this is where you got to know the Old Testament. You have to understand what's happening in the Old Testament to be able to fully understand what's happening in the New Testament. So the writer says, I got one for you. I saw it looked like fires on each person. That's what it looked like. What does that represent? It's God with us. It's the very presence of God, just like He did when He brought our people out of Egypt. Now go back to that story. God took the form of a cloud by day, remember? And He was a pillar of fire by night, signifying to His people, yes, I've got you out here. You're in this wilderness experience, yet you are not alone. And somebody needs to hear that. Someone needs to understand that, because you are in a wilderness experience and you are thinking to yourself, God, do you actually love me? I'm sitting here suffering. How can this be? You say you love me. Where are you? You're not even answering my prayers. But God is saying, I am yet with you. I am like the wind, invisible. But if you stop, listen, you'll hear me and you will feel me. Just like the fire of pillar at night, I am with you there to guide you. So here in the house where the first group of disciples were gathered, He reveals his spirit as a marker of fire, just as he did in the Old Testament. I am with you. This time, each person, each individual gets their own ball of fire, which is different from the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, all of Israel sees the ball of fire up there in the sky. God is with us collectively as a people. But here in his new covenant, I am with you as individuals in your hearts. If you so desire, if you let me in, I will be with you just like this ball of fire is on each individual. That is the gift of the Spirit. Not just here in the sanctuary where we come to gather, but when we leave this place, when we're nowhere near the sanctuary, the Holy Spirit is yet within us. Amen? We all have our individual ball of fire with us. And this symbolizes the gift of the Spirit living in every believer. God is not with us on the outside in the sky above. He is inside us, which is the true meaning of Emmanuel, God with us. So last, the Spirit fills the disciples and empowers them to witness to others in foreign languages. That's amazing. But why foreign languages, God? Foreign languages they didn't study. God empowered them to speak boldly in varied languages because he wanted to remind his disciples and us today that his plan of salvation all along was for the entire world. Somebody say entire. Entire world. Not just the people who look like you, dress like you, act like you, speak your same language, live in your neighborhood. God is for everybody, as they would say in the country, everybody. And for everybody. He is for everybody. Not just the people you like. He is for everyone. And so he says, as a sign, I want you to go out and preach to all of the nations, all the different types of people, all the different languages that they might speak. Go, because that's what I have designed, to bring all of humanity back to myself. He's reminding us of his plan all along, that the entire world should know him and be in relationship with him. So God created every human being to be like him. Remember he said, created in my image, and to know him. So it doesn't matter where on the planet you live, what your first language is, what age you are, what ability you have, if you use a wheelchair or use a cane or are able to walk without any assistance whatsoever. If you've got a lot of money in your bank account or got a little bit in your bank account, it's all good. Why? Because you were designed to know God. And for those of us who do know God, his Spirit lives in us. So we can be witnesses of his greatness to other people around us. This is why Jesus tells the disciples, they will be witnesses to the entire world. Read again what Acts 1 verse 8 says. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, and listen to what he says, even to the ends of the world. So he says, you're going to tell your neighbors, you're going to tell your coworkers, the people you go to school with about Jesus, but there's also more than that. My salvation is for the entire world. So sending the Spirit proves that God is faithful to his promises. Just like he promised a Messiah and sent him, he promised his believers a special gift. And that gift is the Holy Spirit. God is still a promise keeper. That's what he wants us to remember. when we look back at Acts chapter 2 and we see God moving among that body of believers, he is still the same God. He still wants to move in our lives like a mighty wind, like a ball of fire, right in our hearts. He still wants us to be witnesses to the world around us. Pray with me. Thank you, God. Thank you for life. Thank you for the gift of your spirit. Praise your name. Thank you for empowering us to live for you and to be witness for you through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for salvation. I pray, God, that you will help us to be bold. You will help us to be brave, just like Peter, just like the other disciples way back then, how they were empowered by your spirit to just share with others who you are. Help us to do the same. Help us, God, to notice your presence each day of our lives so we can rely on you more and more. We can rely on your wisdom that your spirit brings. We can rely and understand the truth that your spirit brings, and that we can be like you, fully restored to your image. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We pray it even now for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. All right. Let us close with a song and then be dismissed.
All right, we're going to stand and close with More About Jesus.
Jesus, would I know more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches in glory of his own, more of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming, Prince of Peace. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
Amen. Praise God for Jesus, who died for each of us. And he didn't stay dead. That's a wonderful thing. He's actually back with the Father, our Creator. And as God has promised, he's going to come back to get us. Yes. Right now, he's preparing a place for us. And I'm grateful for that. Grateful, grateful, grateful. And he has left his spirit to be here with us, to empower us, to show us truth, to give us love for other people around us, So that's what I want to inspire you with this week. Go knowing that the Spirit is with you to guide you, to keep you, to protect you, to give you wisdom, to help you speak truth to those around you, to love the unlovable, to forgive the unforgivable, and to remember that Christ Jesus died for you and he died for others too. So go, my brothers, go, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that God is with you. When you depart from this place, he hasn't forgotten you. He still hears you when you pray. He sees you when you cry, and he cares. Until we meet again, go in God's peace and go with his grace.